Saul could not be the leader that God had called him to be because he wasn't looking to God. He was looking to the people to see if everybody agreed with him to be popular with the people instead of being popular with God.
This is Straight Talk.
Good morning. This is Mark Jobe, and I want to take a moment today to welcome our new radio listeners. We're receiving emails from people that are joining us, are just starting to listen to this program on a regular basis, and you found out through a friend or just were dialing through some stations and happened to stumble upon it. Well, we welcome you. We're glad that you have joined us. Straight Talk is a program that comes on every Monday through Friday. Our desire is to talk to people straight from the Word of God and go straight to the heart in some practical, life-transforming ways. I just want to say that I believe that the Word of God is the inspired, infallible Word, that it doesn't just contain the Word, but it is the Word, that it's not simply a collection of inspirational stories, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you take the teachings of the Word of God and mix them with faith, something tremendous will happen in your life as you begin to be transformed by the power of God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We are in a message called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Facing Your Fear Factor. Our text will be found in the book of 1 Samuel. Let's get right into the Word. Here's Pastor Mark.
Saul also was afraid of rejection. And by the way, can I just make a note here, is that Saul tried to spiritualize his failure. Notice what he said to Samuel. Well, my men were starting to scatter, and I wanted God's blessing, and so that's why I went up and offered the sacrifice, when he knew very well that he shouldn't do that. How many of you know we like to spiritualize our own failure? I'm just trying to do good. And God says, yeah, you're trying to do good, but you're stepping in a role that's not yours to take. Don't be afraid of failure. Secondly, we see that Saul was afraid of rejection. God gave him a second chance. And although Saul had failed the first time, God gave him a second chance as they went up against the Amalekites. And God said, I want you to go up and against the Amalekites, and I want you to do wage a war, and I don't want you to take any plunder once you've won. I don't want their gold, their silver, their animals, their clothing, nothing. All of it's to be destroyed. And the Bible says that Saul went out to this war, and God gave him a great victory. And when Samuel came to meet him, Saul came out and said, I have done all that God asked me to do. We've had a great victory. And Samuel said, then what is the sheep I hear in the background? What is the cattle I hear in the background? And I want you to notice what Saul said. Saul realized he had sinned. And he says in 1 Samuel 15 verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. Ooh, did you hear that phrase? I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. How many failures are in this room that we could say, I was afraid of the people and I gave in to them? You see, when you fear rejection and you're driven by being accepted by everybody, you will be a miserable person. Let me tell you, you can't make everybody happy all the time. Hello, get that in your mind fast. If you're out there thinking that you got to make everybody happy all of the time, you will never do it. I learned a long time ago as a pastor, and I tell some of the young men and women that are rising in leadership, and someone doesn't like a decision they make, or someone doesn't like the way they talk or do this, and they're devastated by it. Hey, just get used to it. Leadership, you'll always have to make tough decisions, and not everybody's going to like you. And if you think that you're going to have to make everybody happy all of the time, you will be a miserable person and you will lack integrity. Are you following me? Saul could not be the leader that God had called him to be because he wasn't looking to God. He was looking to the people to see if everybody agreed with him to be popular with the people instead of being popular with God. God had said clearly, don't bring anything from the Amalekites. But the people said, hey, look at this gold. Hey, look at this sheep. And if Saul would have said, destroy it, they would have said, you're a fool. Why? And so in order to be popular with the people, he gave in to the people and became unpopular with God. Can I tell you this? There are some of you that are like chameleons here. When you're at work, you become just like everybody else at work. I mean, you speak their language, you say their cuss words, you know the jokes better than they know the jokes. I mean, you're just one of the boys. Why? I don't want to be weird. I want them to know I'm just one of the boys. I don't want to be like a holy Joe. Uh-oh, sermon time is up. Is that me? This is like my alarm clock. Okay. There you go. All right. Someone did that on purpose to shorten my message down. I'm going to have to preach extra long. I've known people that they go to work and they want to be accepted by everybody at work, and so they behave that way. And then they come to church, and they want to be accepted by church people. So they add a couple hallelujahs and praise the Lord to their lingo. And they act a little spiritual in church. And then where they're with this people, they're this way and that way. Why? Because they want to be accepted. They want to be pleased. They don't want to be rejected by anybody. They try to be accepted by everyone. And I want to tell you, that is a miserable way to live. Because that's called insecurity. Some of you walk into a room and you hate being insecure, but you're insecure. You walk into a room and you're around other people and you're looking at how they're dressed and if they're dressed better than you are and how they look, and it causes you to be insecure. And maybe you have it all together, maybe you don't, but you're uncomfortable around people. You're always comparing yourself to people, always trying to see if you fit in or don't fit in, always afraid of rejection, always afraid that someone's going to say something. That's called insecurity. That's fear-based thinking. Some of the most miserable people I know are people that are always trying to make everybody happy because they don't know who they are and they don't know what God wants. They're trying to please everybody and they will end up frustrated. Saul had a fear of rejection. He was looking not to God, but he was looking to people to help him determine his worth and his value. And again, we see him spiritually justifying it. When Samuel said, what have you done? You know what he said? I took the sheep and the oxen so that I could sacrifice them to God. He's spiritually justifying his failure. And then Samuel said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. You remember that verse? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And he tells him, hey, don't justify your disobedience. Just obey God. If you're going to follow God, I want you to obey God. Stop looking at people around you and trying to get acceptance from them. And start looking to God and getting acceptance from God. For he is the one that ultimately is going to accept you. The third fear that we see in Saul's life. After he had blown it in these two times, Samuel said, God is taking the kingdom away from you and God is going to give it to another man because you are so focused on people and so focused on yourself. You don't have a heart that's after God. And so your kingdom will be taken away and it will be given to another person who has a heart after God. Saul also feared, the third failure was the fear of losing control. The Bible tells us that soon after that, you remember the story, that there was a mighty battle that they were facing, and a guy by the name of Goliath was out there with the Philistines challenging Saul. And David comes into the picture. And David, used by God, slaughters this giant named Goliath. And the people are so excited about it, a mighty battle ensues, and the Israeli people overcome the Philistine people, and it's just a mighty battle. And so the women start chanting out in the street, David has killed his 10,000s, and Saul has killed his thousands. And when Saul hears that, it bothers him significantly that someone else would be considered a better warrior than him. And the Bible says, and from that day on, Saul had a jealous eye on David. You see, here's what I want you to know. That when fear is part of your thinking, you will fear losing control. And other people around you will become a threat to your control. Oh man, I want to talk about this for a second. Because listen to me. Some of you, Saul could have been David's best commander. He could have been his best asset. But instead, he spent years chasing David. He could have been on David's side, but instead he spent a lot of energy. He became suspicious about his children, suspicious around the people around him. At one point, there were some priests that helped David out, and he went and became so enraged that he slaughtered every single priest that just gave David something to eat because he became so insanely jealous. He took a spear and tried to kill David. Why? The Bible tells us that a spirit began to torment Saul, and he became a man that was almost possessed. He became schizophrenic, psychotic. Why? Because he was so afraid that someone was going to take away his kingdom, that someone was going to take away his popularity, that someone was going to take away control, that he became obsessed with his fears. And you say, wow, what a maniac. Let's talk about that. There are some of you that have a group of 10, 12 friends. You're hanging out a lot. A new person joins your friendship circle. They're popular. They're outgoing. They get a lot of attention. Then suddenly a couple of people in that group of friends starts really not liking this person. Now, who does she think she is coming in here like that?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death, which is from our current series, Facing Your Fear Factor. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Samuel, and our message is called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death.
And suddenly she's getting snob and attitudes. Look at the way she talks. Look at the way she dresses. Who do you think she is? And suddenly there's all kinds of tension around him. Why? Because someone in that group is insecure. And your insecurities are leading you to have a bad attitude towards that person who's done nothing against you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're at work. And you're happy and content in your job, and a new person is hired. And suddenly the boss takes a liking to this new person. And is complimenting them. And saying, wow, it's so good. Look at all this that they're doing. They're talented. Wow, this was a great decision. And instead of you getting happy about the company and about the extra workload taking off, suddenly it's invading your territory and insecurity kicks in and you're not happy anymore. You're wondering if this person's going to take the affection of your boss and maybe your job. And so instead of being happy, now you got an attitude towards them. You have nothing but negative to say about them. You're looking for flaws. You're looking for faults. Why? Because you're afraid you're going to lose control. Insecurity. You see, what insecurity does is insecurity doesn't let us have partnerships because we want to put everybody down that we think is a threat to us. Let me tell you, Some of you, it's really hard. It's really hard for you to have a normal friendship because you're so insecure that if someone dresses a little bit better, then you feel insecure around them. If you have a friend and they have other friends, you start smothering them because you're insecure that they maybe have other friends that they're going to count as good as your friends. And so you take the friends that you have and you smother them because of your insecurities. Some of you husbands are so insecure that your wife can barely talk to anyone on the phone without you asking, "So what were you talking about? Did I come up in that conversation? Where are you going? Who? What? When? How?" It's like, loosen up a little bit here. You know what it is? It's insecurity. You're afraid. She's going to have these friends or those friends. I've had husbands come irate the church here because suddenly their wife started coming to church and go home happy. And they're saying, what's up with you? I've had husbands come to the church to check out who their wife was having an affair with because they said, you are so happy now. Who are you seeing? It's God. Oh, yeah, God. Right. And they come in church and they're watching. Some brother says hi to their wife and they say, who was that guy? Tell me, what was his name? And, you know, he better not say hi to you again. Let me tell you. You're killing yourself with insecurity. I talked to a wife one time years ago, and she told me with tears streaming down her cheeks, she said, every time I walk in the door, my husband smells my clothes. He goes to the closet, looks for hairs, smells my clothes, checks all my pockets, looks through all my telephone list. She says, I have been faithful to him. I have never cheated on him. But his own insecurities were driving him insane. I sat down with him and I said, you are going to go to the psych ward unless you get a grip on this thing. Your wife is being faithful. It's your own fear of losing control that is driving you crazy. And if you're insecure here today, let me tell you, you hate being insecure. You don't want to be that way. But it gets a grip on you. Saul had a love-hate relationship with David. When he snapped out of his insecurity, he would say, David, you're like a son to me. I love you. I would never do anything wrong to you. But then the next time he turns around, he's looking for him. He's got spears. He's trying to kill him. He has this love-hate relationship because of his own insecurities. Can I tell you something? You say, well, Pastor, I'm afraid of losing control. Can I tell you something? You're not in control now anyways. You think you got control? It's an illusion. You don't control anything. Your life could be taken like this tomorrow. You don't control the weather, the finances, time, temperature. You are not in control. So you might as well just give up and give it over to God because He is in control. In fact, it's interesting in this passage. It tells us in this passage that Saul feared David because the Lord was with him. And the more the Lord was with David, the more Saul feared David. And the less Saul was with God, the more terrorized he became. The fourth fear that Saul had was not just the fear of failure, not just the fear of rejection, not just the fear of losing control, but he also feared that God would not come through. He also feared that God wasn't going to hold up his end of the deal. Saul started becoming king when he was 40 years old. He died suicide when he was 72 years old. For 32 years, he was king. For at least 25 of those years, he was tormented by deep, deep failure and insecurity in his own life. It wasn't because God wanted him to be that way. It was because he began to have these inner fear conversations and refused to let God liberate him from them. So for 25 years, even though he was king, he was miserable, fear-driven, panicky, suspicious, unhappy. He lost his family. He lost his legacy. He lost his kingdom. And ultimately, he lost his life because of his own fearful conversations he had inside. When he was 72 years old, at the end of his life, his time had come. He was facing a final battle, a final war. He had chased David for years. He had made a mess of the kingdom. He called unto God and said, God, tell me, am I going to win or am I going to lose? God was silent. Can I tell you this? When God talks to you a lot and you don't listen, you can't beckon God at your beck and call. If God has spoken and spoken and spoken and you're not listening, then one day you're going to come and say, okay, God. And God's going to say, every time I talk, you don't listen. You can't demand that I speak to you now. And the Bible says that he called unto God and God said nothing. And so he became fear-stricken. He thought that God wasn't going to show up in time. So you know who he went to? He went to a witch, a spiritist, a medium, a channeler. He had outlawed them from the entire nation, so he disguised himself and showed up to this woman's house who was a psychic spiritist channeler. Because he could not get answers from God, he started going to other places to get answers. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. There it is again, this fear. And he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer. So he went to a spiritist or a medium. Let me tell you, sometimes you want an answer from God now and God says you need to wait. And if you're not careful, you try to manipulate God. You say, God, now. And if you can't find it from the Bible, you go to the horoscopes. You say, well, Pastor Mark didn't give me an answer. So what's that 1-800 friendly psychic number? You go to be prayed for and God hasn't healed you right away. So you say, you know, I know a woman that knows a woman that there's a curandera. And you know, she's sort of spiritual. She breaks these eggs over your belly, waves some things over you and does it in Jesus' name. Wow. Come on, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You see, a lot of us try to go, and when God doesn't show up when we want him to show up, we figure out alternative ways of getting our answer. My finances aren't working out very good. You know what? I'm going to go gamble, and maybe it's going to help me out. Maybe I'll hit the big one. You see, when we go to God and we don't get the answer that we want, sometimes we start figuring out on our own. We go to alternative methods. We start going outside of God's plan to fix our problems because we think God is not going to come through for me. Saul was afraid that God would not come through. And the sad picture is of Saul with a sword, encroached upon by the Philistine army. This man that 32 years earlier God had called and said, I will be with you, I will strengthen you, I will empower you, I will make you into a great and mighty nation if you fear me. And if you serve me with all your heart. And if you consider the great and mighty things I've done to you. Now in his final hour, he's got a sword. The final act of self-depreciation. The final act of fear is as he plunges the sword into his own body and dies there on the battleground. A monument to the destruction that fear can produce in our lives.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and our message has been called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue on in our series called Facing Your Fear Factor. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.